at 7, it'll be Golf Talk with Jimmy Hyams as he and Braxton Hunter will recap the Masters and have a whole lot to talk about. And they look forward to having a couple, they hope, a couple of very special guests. And then at 8 o'clock, it'll be time for Vol Calls, where tonight it'll be Bob Kessling and Brent Hubbs talking with new Tennessee basketball Vols assistant coach Rod Clark, who will be on hand in person. They also look forward to bringing you an interview with defensive coordinator of the football program, Tim Banks. A couple of baseball players, first baseman Luke Lipsius, outfielder Evan Russell will be on the show. And if indeed everything is taken care of, Ralph or Karen Weekly will be on hand after their game tonight against Tennessee Tech. So you have all that tonight on Vol Calls between 8 and 9. And right now it's your chance to win. It's the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, what's up for grabs this evening?
John, from Ted Russell Nissan, we've got a certificate good for complimentary oil and filter change and a tire rotation and a wash and vacuum service. And this is Ted Russell Ford is here to provide you with the tools that they hope will make buying a car easier. Their goal is to assist you in making a confident decision. No one can sell you your Nissan for less than Ted Russell right here on Kingston Pike. All right, the gift certificate for a complimentary oil and filter change, tire rotation, wash and vacuum service from Ted Russell Ford. If you can answer this, Ted Russell Nissan, if you can answer this trivia question. This is a golf question. Of course, we had the Masters conclude yesterday. Since 2011, over the last 10 years, which golfer has had the most tournaments with at least 20 birdies? Which golfer in the last 10 years has had the most tournaments with at least 20 birdies? I thought this answer was very interesting.
656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. How's it going, Jimmy?
Hey, it's going great, Danny. Hope you're doing well.
I am. I want to say Tiger Woods.
Not Tiger Woods. He's actually missed too much time over this last 10 years to do that. But thanks for trying, Danny.
Thanks.
Sure do appreciate it, Danny. Let's go next to Mark. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Mark.
Hey, guys. How are y'all tonight?
Doing well. Hope you are.
Okay. I'm going to say Spieth.
You are correct. Yeah, it is Jordan Spieth. And I thought that might get people because he didn't really become a pro player until like 2015 or so. So he doesn't encompass these last 10 years. He's had 47 tournaments with at least 20 birdies, which I think is remarkable. Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson have 43 each. So the answer is Jordan Spieth. Hey, Mark, good job. From Ted Russell Nissan, you get a certificate good for complimentary oil and filter change, a tire rotation, and a wash and vacuum service. So congratulations, Mark. We're going to put you on hold and get that prize to you. Good job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, outstanding work, Mark. We know you'll appreciate the prize. Hang on the line so we can get your information. And that takes care of the Sports Fix at 6. Jimmy, I thought for sure we would get much further down the line in terms of before we got the correct answer.
I did, too, because Spieth, going back to 2011, he probably encompasses six or seven of those years, not all of them. And so I thought it might go in a different direction. I was actually surprised when I saw the answer to it because of that, but it just tells you what a great putter Spieth is. He makes so many birdies, and by the way, he went 4 years without winning, which is another reason I was surprised to see that he was the answer to that question. So. But just a couple of other notes to touch on. Julian Edelman has gotten some kind of a release, whatever, from New England. He's retiring. So he is done as a Patriot. Certainly had an outstanding career there. He was a college quarterback, I believe at Kent State, but was a tremendous receiver for the Patriots for many years. And then Lady Vols' Jaden McCoy, she has entered the transfer portal. She's a local product from Farragut, went junior college into Tennessee. Her playing time was very limited this past year. And then the NCAA ending its dead period on June the 1st. John, they extended it 8 different times due to the pandemic. But now it is scheduled to end June the 1st. And boy, I think that I wonder how many visits folks will have scheduled on June 1st.
Boy, I think it's going to be a boatload. We'll just, which is a scientific term.
I think there will be too. I think you'll see a lot of them. But yeah, it's been a long time, and you also wonder if there might be more recruiting mistakes made in all sports because you were only able to basically visit with folks via Zoom as opposed to in person on campus and get a better idea of the individual that you're recruiting. But we'll see. But anyway, June 1, they're opening the door. At least that's been reported. That's when the dead period will end.
We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as it's time for a Tennessee football practice report. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage as we get to say hello to Eric Kane, and just so that we can allow him to focus on the football practice report, we'll just go ahead and say for his sake, Alec Baum has still not touched home plate. Eric?
He's still not touched home plate. I mean, it's incredible. Which one happens first, guys? Will Major League Baseball come out and say they missed it, or will he touch home plate? I don't know. But nonetheless, we will speak on Tennessee football right now. An open practice Saturday morning inside Neyland Stadium. A little over 2 hours, we were officially past the midway point of spring practice, and the offense continued to see all three quarterbacks getting reps with the ones at certain points in time, while the offensive line saw a little bit of cross-training with Cade Mays repping at both the right and left tackles. Dee Beckwith was impressive running the football during 11-on-11 situations, and Cedric Tillman made a couple of really nice, impressive catches in the red zone. The defense, however, it struggled a lot, and the offense had its way in regards to all the 11-on-11 sessions that we saw. Tamarian McDonald and Christian Charles did impress with a couple of interceptions later in the day. At linebacker, Morvin Joseph, Quazi Garland, and Solon Page led the unit, as that position is still pretty limited. There were a couple of guys who were repping at the star position on Saturday, which included Jalen McCullough, Theo Jackson, and Tamarian McDonald. But all in all, pretty good practice in terms of they got a lot done. There were multiple 11-on-11 sessions where they went ones against ones, twos against twos, all that stuff. It was competitive. It was high tempo. The coaches were getting after it pretty hard, and I liked how they kind of intermingled special teams in throughout the day as well. They would do team stuff, they would do individual, then they would have punch reels going on, then they would go back to individual and stuff like that. I thought that was pretty neat. But the coaches seemed to be pleased with the effort and the progress made to this point. Josh Heupel spoke on The Nation last night right here on The Sports Animal and kind of reiterated that, saying that, of course, they're not where they want to be, but the progress made to this point is impressive, and so they're pleased with that. But still a whole lot to be done, but it was good to be out at Neyland Stadium Saturday watching 2 hours of practice. That was a whole lot of fun.
Eric, who were some of the key players that were withheld from practice?
Of course, you had the normal ones, and Roman Harrison and Jeremy Banks defensively at linebacker. They weren't even out there. They came out there at the very end in just jersey and shorts. They weren't suited up at all. You had Tyron Evans that was limited a little bit. He did some drill work early, but didn't do a whole lot of work. Jalen Hyatt the same way. He was pretty limited. A couple of other guys that are kind of new, I guess, to the injury report, at least from what we've seen. Tyler Barron did a bunch of drills, did some individual, but it didn't look like Tyler Barron participated in hardly any of the 11-on-11 sessions. The same with Jaquan Blakely, defensive lineman. He was kind of the same way off to the side, getting some work done. At points in time, Wilden Parker Griffin, a true freshman, early enrollee, was off to the side getting some work done, but he was out there able to do most of the stuff. But those were some of the guys who were kind of held out a little bit from practice, and Josh Heupel spoken on it a couple of times that at least for Tyon Evans that they anticipating him back and getting him ready to roll here pretty soon.
What did you think about the fans being able to attend? I thought there were several thousand, but it's kind of hard to estimate that. But what did you think about that setup?
Yeah, I'm not the pro like you, Jimmy. I'm so bad at guesstimating, and it's really hard to see where we were sitting down there in the bowl with everybody. But right. I would say I said probably, somewhere around 1,500, somewhere from 1,000 to 1,500. There was a decent crowd there. We all sat on one side. We were sitting one row apart from one another in terms of our groups. So that was pretty neat. I thought that the Tennessee administration did a pretty good job and kind of announcing it late in the week, knowing the weather was going to be a factor, getting some fans in there and applying to social distancing patterns, having some of the concession stands open, kind of using it as a trial run for what's going to be the Orange and White game coming up here in less than 2 weeks now. But it was pretty neat. I think the fans enjoyed it. They played there was no gimmicks. There was no show. We literally walked in, sat down, watched practice. There was nobody over the PA, nobody with a microphone. They played music and they practiced, and you know, the fans were clapping and cheering whenever a good play was made, and some fans were yelling at the coaches and, you know, just getting after it a little bit. Some September mindsets here in the month of April, so that was kind of fun. But overall, it was a pretty neat experience, and I think everybody that showed up enjoyed it. And, of course, the rain, for the most part, held off until after we were home.
Did you think there was one quarterback that looked better than the others?
You know, Saturday, not really. I didn't think all three of those guys really had a spectacular day. I mean, Brian Maurer was not his best on Saturday. Hendon Hooker and Harrison Bailey weren't bad. And, you know, for every bad play Brian Maurer made, he made an impressive play. And so that's kind of been the tail of the tape for him so far. I mean, I thought Hendon Hooker, for the most part, Hendon Hooker rep with the ones on Saturday. Josh Heupel mentioned last week that each quarterback has a certain day that they're going with the ones and the twos and the threes. We saw all quarterbacks rep with the presumed ones at one point or another, but Hendon Hooker looked like he was the guy out there on Saturday. I mean, he was all right. He didn't do anything super flashy. I thought Brian Maurer struggled for the most part throwing the ball. He got hot there towards the middle of practice, especially when they were doing situational football, working from the 20-yard line going in. Made a couple of nice touchdown throws, made a nice play extending the play, rolling out of the pocket, and he looked good on some of those. So I don't think any quarterback, in my opinion, did anything on Saturday that would separate themselves. Still, there's a whole lot that we don't see. I mean, clearly we're there for a couple periods. When we do get to go there, we're never there like we are on Saturday. But, you know, they were just okay, in my opinion, on Saturday. We saw, yeah, like I mentioned, Harrison Bailey, there was one busted play that comes to mind where he scrambled out right through probably a 45-yard pass down the sideline and hit Walker Morrell. That was probably one of the best plays I saw all day. And that's just Brian Maurer being Brian Maurer, making something of nothing. But overall, just kind of an okay day for the quarterbacks, in my opinion.
What did you think of the drill where they snapped it to the quarterback and without even taking a step or being able to grip the laces, they just fired a pass about 10 or 12 yards sideways to a receiver? You remember that drill?
Trying to think. Yeah, I mean, they were doing a bunch of stuff like that. I guess trying to simulate what would be maybe a screen pass, maybe a bubble screen, maybe a tunnel screen of some sorts. But I think you're going to see – I might not remember that drill specifically from Saturday, but it's working on lateral, you know, throwing, obviously getting the ball out very, very quick. And I think you're going to see a lot of that in this offense because it's going to be fast-paced tempo, trying to get the ball out quickly. And from what I've seen from these quarterbacks so far – you know, Brian Maurer, that's right up in his game. He has catched the football throw. He's got such a quick release. Hendon Hooker's fine in that regard. Harrison Bailey a little bit slow with that, but certainly drilling those type of drills, working with Joey Halsey and Josh Heupel, they're going to continue to get better and stuff like that.
Any other news or notes?
That'll about do it. I mean, overall, I'm thankful. I like the open practice. I know Jeremy Pruitt tried to do one a couple years ago. It got rained out, but typically, I would assume that, you know, one of these a year sometimes. A lot of times it comes during fall camp. Maybe we'll get another one. It was exciting. I was happy to be there, and it was good to sit down and watch a full practice from start to finish. So sign me up for another one of those. But we are officially past the midway point here of spring practice. Orange and white game coming up on the 24th at 4 o'clock. Jimmy, you and I are going to be on the air right beforehand, so looking forward to that. And hoping to get a schedule from UT about the practice availabilities here throughout this week at some point today. This Tennessee football spring practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Beat the spring rush. Get your pool started now. From design to construction to maintenance, one call can do it all. Call Pools by Heritage at 947-7527.
Eric, we always appreciate it. Thank you so much. Have a great night tonight, a wonderful show in the morning, and we look forward to catching up with you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, guys. John, you and Vince were awesome on the call this weekend, as you always are, but I really enjoyed listening to you guys.
Well, we sure do appreciate that. Thank you so much. And that's Eric Kane with a Tennessee football practice report on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. It's brought to you by Pools by Heritage.
Let's hear now from Theo Jackson. Theo Jackson, Tennessee defensive back. He has primarily been a safety. He has worked some at the nickel position, as Tennessee's worked a lot of folks at the nickel trying to identify who might be best to play there and trying to identify their five best defensive backs. Theo Jackson met with the media via Zoom recently. Here are comments from Theo Jackson.
Hey, Theo, just talk about the adjustment with this defense with Coach Banks. What have been your early impressions?
Honestly, I personally like it because like it like allows us to play fast and not have to think as much, and it's really just allowing us to just like get the call, and then it's like simple calls that we can just go in and then make them and then focus on other things like splits or like the offensive formation.
I know you've gotten some looks at that star nickel type of position. How different is that position in this defense versus what you guys did prior?
I mean, it's not really that much difference to it. I mean, it's like small kinks and all that, but like as far as like just having a bigger difference between last year and this year, it's not really much of a difference.
Hey, Theo, obviously Willie Martinez coming back to Tennessee. I think he recruited you. Just kind of what do you remember about him from being a recruit? And what was that first interaction like when he got in the building a few weeks ago?
Hasn't changed. He's still the same guy he was back then as he is now. Like, he's nothing different. High energy guy. Like always, like the, like he just always bring light into the room.
I guess just were you surprised? I mean, you probably don't expect after a coach leaves early in your career that he comes back. Just, I guess that was kind of odd for you, right?
Yeah. First, it was kind of weird because like I wasn't expecting it. Like nobody else was expecting it. Whoever else he had recruited to come here. So it was just, it was honestly just like a good feeling that he is back.
Yeah, Theo, Coach Martinez mentioned you and Alante as kind of the guys leading the group right now. What has it looked like for you this spring, this transition with the new coaching staff to kind of take on a leadership role?
It's not really a big thing for me because I've always been like one of the older guys on the team and in the back end. So it's really just me like being more of a vocal leader to our guys and just being more of a like a coach outside of our actual coaches.
Hey, Theo, what are some areas of your game that you've been focusing on and working on in spring practice so far?
For me, it's just been my feet and really my eye progression because now we're kind of transitioning to like a different style of defense. So it's just getting those two down and then all the other two will fall into place. Well, everything else will fall into place.
Theo, I know it's early, but what do you think the identity of the defensive backfield under, you know, Tim Banks and Willie Martinez is going to be for you guys? Do you think it's obviously multiple in terms of coverages, but special emphasis on maybe zone compared to man, or what's your thoughts on any of that?
Right now, with us being six crackers deep, I can say it's a little bit of everything. So, like, we're not just going to specialize in one thing. It's just going to be, you know, some plays it might be man, some plays it might be zone, other plays it might be a combination of both. So,
Theo, a number of your teammates have talked about fun and how they're having fun now. Can you give us some examples of some things that have been fun for you, obviously other than what you mentioned before and being able to play fast?
I think it was after the second or third practice, he brought the ice cream truck after practice, and I just felt like a kid again. You know, we just out there after practice, you know, playing music, dancing, getting in extra work. It was just a different vibe.
Yeah, Theo, obviously there's been a lot of things that you and I guess the guys that are your age in this program have been through. How have those things kind of shaped you or molded you maybe as a player, as a person? How much have you kind of had to learn to roll with punches and kind of embrace positivity for what's going forward?
For us, I mean, it's just another stepping stone. Like, it's really nothing to us because we know, like, we've been through the worst and we've been through the best. So it's really just pushing forward and looking at the light through the end of the tunnel.
And that is Tennessee defensive back Theo Jackson.
I know we kicked it around when Vince was on with us. I believe it was week before this past one. But if, indeed, we were coming off the air and they, of course, had the ice cream truck set up for us, I had said I believe that it was either going to be the Nutty Buddy or the push-up as far as my favorites, or the ice cream sandwich.
Yeah.
And then Sam, he correctly reminded me of the creamsicle. So that is one that I had completely forgotten about, and that all of a sudden wrecks my top four. But what would your choice have been, Jimmy?
I'm partial to about 43. Baskin Robbins has nothing on me. Probably Rocky Road.
Yeah.
I like Rocky Road.
Yep, I think that was Vince's reply as well.
Oh, okay. Well, it's a
rum raisin. Whoop. No, that would you can't go wrong with that. That's just it. But anyhow, how fun would that be? That there you go, boom. And I know that we can say thank you to a good friend of ours who through the years has made a point to come through so many different remotes with a nice coupon in relation to ice cream that we say thank you very much. And we can't say how much we appreciate the community spirit that companies such as Mayfield enjoy to this day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And that's one of the things that makes some of those remotes fun is to run into the ice cream man.
There you go.
Before we hear from Princeton Fant, Walker Kessler, the 7-footer out of Georgia that played at North Carolina, entered the transfer portal. Some thought he might return to North Carolina. Nope. He's going to Auburn. Bruce Pearl gets Walker Kessler. That's a great get for Auburn. So, all right. Princeton Fant, he's played multiple positions at Tennessee. He has been a tight end. We'll see if he factors into the passing game from that position. Princeton Fant met with the media via Zoom last week. Here are comments from Princeton Fant.
Princeton, how would you compare the role of tight ends in this last year's offense?
This role in the offense, I feel like we're a huge part of the offense this year. Personally, I think that, we're the man adjusted to the offense. And, it's a lot on us this year. And I feel like that we can really take on that role this year and be a great unit. And also a great offense as a team. So I say it's a lot different than last year. But mostly I feel like, we're the main part of the offense this year. And, I'm ready to get things going for real.
Yeah, Princeton, I'm wondering if you could take me back to when you learned that Josh Heupel was going to be the new coach at Tennessee. How quickly were you kind of on your phone, kind of, YouTubing some UCF highlights? And what did you think when you first saw the offense?
I looked up Coach Heupel as soon as I heard about it. I feel like he's a great coach. He's an offensive minded coach, and that's something that I really love about Coach. Personally, I feel like he's a great fit for our offense, and I feel like we can make a lot of plays this year as a team and as an offense.
How about the pace of the offense? Is that something that we hear about that a lot, and I'm sure we'll see it at some point, but just how much different is it? Because y'all have seen some hurry up. You've been in some 2-minute, 4-minute, but this looks like a different level.
Yeah, it's definitely a different level. I'd say it's a whole lot faster than we're all used to, but we're all starting to buy in as an offense, and we're all starting to really understand what Coach really wants from us. And I'd say that it's definitely a whole lot faster, and it's going to be fun.
Princeton, you've obviously been through a lot. I mean, a lot of changes in your time at Tennessee, from bouncing around position to position, different offenses, and that new head coach, new staff. How do you kind of summarize this journey you've been on here at Tennessee?
It's been a great journey. It's a blessing to actually be able to play football here at the University of Tennessee. That's what I first start off with. And, I bounce around, but my main focus was wherever I can fit in to help my team out. That was my main goal. If it was at running back, if it was at tight end, if it was at receiver, if it was at linebacker, it's been a crazy journey, but I feel like, I'm here at the spot that the team needs me the most, and whatever I have to do to help my team, that is my main focus.
Are you excited about being able to show your pass catching ability and maybe splitting out a little bit more and showing what you can do from that standpoint?
Yes, sir. I'm extremely excited about that. I finally get the chance to show who I'm about, show who I really am. And, I want to do whatever I can, like I said, to be there for my team and help my team and really, really show what Tennessee is about.
Princeton, Vince asked you kind of about kind of moving around position to position. I'm wondering at what point did you kind of feel settled in at tight end, or are you still trying to settle in, and do you think it maybe suits you best? And I guess how long is it taking you to kind of adjust to playing there?
I'd say I'm pretty settled in. Tight end was different for me coming out of high school. I played receiver, but me learning and coming in, getting extra film and extra work with the coaches has really helped me understand pass blocking, run blocking, running routes was something that I already had. It's been a great experience. I feel like I'm settling down pretty good. And, I'm just ready to get this thing going, get the season going, and, finish spring ball strong and, get everything going.
You mentioned you came here as a wide receiver. You played running back. What was the hardest part about about playing tight end? Was it just having to block, or was there something else that was maybe a challenge for you?
It really wasn't a challenge. It just honestly learning tight end, learning what really a tight end does. And it took some time to actually learn that, but I feel like I'm learning it more and more as I continue to practice every day, continue to come in and watch more film, you know, watch NFL film, watch the guys in the NFL do, you know, play tight end and just the footwork that they take, the routes that they run. So I feel like I'm starting to get, you know, pretty good at it.
Hey, Princeton, you mentioned the tight ends having a bigger role in this offense. How have you seen the group come along during spring practice so far? And what's it like been working with Alex Golish?
I say that the tight ends are coming along great. I feel like we're all working hard together as a team and just keeping each other going through the practices, you know. And working with Coach Golish is an honor. You know, he's a great coach. He's going to push you. He's going to make sure that, you know, just – He's that guy, you know. I have a lot of respect for Coach Golish, and I personally think that he has a great plan and a great offense. And I'm just ready for us to go out there and showcase that on Saturdays.
Princeton, just following up a little bit on Kelly's question, that tight end room. Talk about two guys specifically, what you've seen from one, the growth of Jacob Warren, and two, your newcomer and Miles Campbell.
Jacob Warren's a great athlete. He's very smart, smart guy. You know, he always puts the team first. He's never a selfish person. And I have a lot of respect for Jacob. He's a hard worker. You know, every day we're going to go to work. And that's somebody that I love to play by. And, you know, he's a brother to me. And, you know, I have a lot of respect for Jacob. And he's definitely producing a lot. And I'm proud of him. With Miles, Miles Campbell, he's a great kid. He's a young kid. And, you know, I feel like he's coming here and he's working hard every day. And he's going to be a great player. He's going to be a great man for the tight ends, most definitely.
And also, you mentioned watching NFL tight ends. Are there a couple of your favorites that you kind of zeroed in on that you like what they do?
George Kittle, you know, Kelsey, Noah Fant. I actually watch him a lot. You know, he's a big role model in my life, somebody that I actually look up to. And, you know, I ask him different questions every day and try to learn from him and see what he does as a tight end. And, you know, I feel like he's given me a lot of information and he's really helped me step my game up in blocking and running and pass game and all sorts of ways.
Princeton, how big was it for y'all to get Austin Pope back? A guy who, you know, looked like he was going to maybe he went to the portal for a while and said he was going to come back. It just seems like having him back gives y'all a little bit more experience at that group. Just a guy who really seems to help the running game a lot.
Yeah, it was a very big thing. You know, we all have a lot of respect for Pope, and Pope is a huge part of the offense, honestly. And you know, he's one of the older guys that helps all of us younger guys out. You know, he's on us. He's always on us. He wants us to work hard, and you know, he's a hard worker as well. So I feel like Pope is a great. You know, I'm personally glad that he's came back, honestly.
And I was going to ask you, I guess I should probably knock on wood when I say this, but he saw a picture the other day. He didn't have any braces on. He was out there just to practice, didn't have anything on his elbows, his knees, his ankles. I mean, how good is it to see him out there healthy?
Hey, man, this is a great experience. I'm ready to get things started with him, man. And, you know, we're going to go to work in that tight end room. That's a promise.
Hey, Princeton, West kind of took what I was going to say there about Austin Poe. But I guess to add to that, it's been a while since he's been practicing. It's been a long time since he's played. How is he looking so far? You know, media, we're not there for the majority of practice. So how is he looking so far in his road back to getting back to the playing field?
What I can say is Poe looked great out there. And that's personally where I'll probably keep it at, you know. But I feel like Poe he's going to be a great addition to the tight ends again. And it's time to get things going in that room, for real.
Hey, Princeton, just to follow up on Miles Campbell, any early impressions on just sort of his skill set, personality, work ethic, anything you've noticed about him, you know, just beyond what you said earlier?
Yeah, he works hard. He's going to continue to work hard. He's strong. He can run routes. So I feel like he's going to be a great athlete. And in the future, he's going to be, you know, I feel like he can be something great myself.
Yeah, Princeton, you were talking about Noah Fant earlier. I guess how do you, it sounds like he's someone that you communicate with. I guess how did that all get started, and what's that relationship been like for you?
He's actually family. He's my cousin. I actually found that out from my father, and you know, we didn't really know each other at first until my father actually introduced me to him, and he actually hit me up on Instagram, and you know, he DM'd me and just told me just to keep going, and you know, ever since he texted me, you know, I feel like we've gained that relationship together. And, you know, every day I hit him up and ask him different questions about what I can get better on and, you know, run blocking, pass blocking, like I said. And, you know, I feel like, you know, he's helped my game out a lot at tight end and, you know, learning from him and from a professional athlete in the NFL, I feel like, you know, he's really given me a lot of tools that I can use.
And when would that have been, that text? It was just a couple months ago, a year ago. When was it that y'all were able to I guess, meet up a little bit?
Oh, I say about a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, we text each other back and forth. You know, I asked him for advice, like I said, and he always gave me a response. And, you know, I'm going to use those tools that he gave me and we'll see how it go.
And that is Tennessee tight end Princeton Fant, cousin of Denver's Noah Fant.
How cool is that?
Yeah. I need a famous athlete or a well-known athlete who's my cousin.
It's always a big help. Let's see. It was Jalen Reeves Maben who was watching. Well, it was thrilled for at the time Cameron Maben being with the Braves for the brief time that he was. But that's always cool when there's a connection with that. But amazingly cool for somebody who can look to somebody who has, I think, a bright future if he can stay healthy at the position in the pros that he's trying to play in his remaining time in college.
Yeah. And good for Princeton Fan. He's had a tough go of it. A lot of positions, a lot of coaches, a lot of position coaches. Hopefully he'll have a breakout year, his final year at Tennessee.
Yeah, it would have been so easy for him to just say that, you know, that's enough of that. But he's wherever he's gone, he's had a great attitude, and he's done his very best. And so I'm like you. I really hope that he has a fast and strong finish to his time at Tennessee.
So San Diego Padres no longer have to answer the question, when are you going to have a pitcher throw a no-hitter? Joe Musgrove, first no-hitter, Padres history, after 8,205 games. That's the second longest streak by any franchise in history. The Mets, and think of the pitchers they've had their first no-hitter in 2019, 8,019 games. The other two longest streaks, you got to go way back. The Cardinals, 4,826 games. That streak was snapped in 1924. And the Pirates, 2,965 games. That first no-hitter for them was 1907. So, Joe Musgrove, and I think he's a product of the San Diego area, so made it even more special for him to fire that no-hitter. John, also another big pitching performance from North Texas, a pitcher by the name of Hope Troutwine, 21 batters, 21 strikeouts. It's believed.
Wow.
3-0 over Arkansas Pine Bluff. It's believed to be the first 21 strikeout game in Division I that was a perfect game. Alabama's Alexis Arcorio had 21 strikeouts against Fordham, but it wasn't a perfect game. There was either a walk or an error somewhere along the way. And then at Cal, Michelle Granger had 21 Ks against Creighton in 1991, but it was not a perfect game. So how about that? 21 batters, 21 strikeouts. And then so we gave a tip of the hat to Trey Mancini with the Orioles last week. He returned from stage 3 colon cancer to play. Well, then he hit a home run. His first home run since September the 28th of 2019. So good for him. Congratulations on that score. And Evander Holyfield is going to try to make a comeback. He's 58 years old. He's returning to the ring for an exhibition fight June 5th against Kevin McBride. You might remember
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin McBride is the last fighter to fight Mike Tyson. You know what? I loved Willie Mays, but I didn't really care to watch him play baseball at 45 years old or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But I guess there are enough people that would do this. The Mike Tyson-Roy Jones fight, November 2020, had 1.6 million on pay-per-view, which is absolutely stunning to me. But anyway.
Yep. That's them.
Yeah.
I just have no desire to see that, and I just think it's a fool's errand.
Well, I do too, and here was another note I saw, which also was stunning. Mike Tyson turned down $25 million to face Evander Holyfield in Miami this Memorial Day weekend. Really? I mean, if they're foolish enough to pay you $25 million, why wouldn't you jump on that? I mean, I wouldn't watch it either, but my goodness, if somebody's going to pay $25 million,
Yeah, I think Evander said that they have to allow headgear to protect his ears.
Ear protectors. Yeah. So, my goodness. Quick note about Golden State's James Wiseman, the product of the state of Tennessee, played at Memphis. He might be out for the season. A torn meniscus in his knee. He was averaging 11.5 points, 5.8 rebounds, averaging 21 minutes per game. And a quick note on Stephon Curry that I saw. Six straight games with at least 30 points. That's the most in his career. That surprised me. I would have thought he'd had more than that. And then Enes Kanter had a 30-rebound game against Detroit. That's the fourth 30-rebound game in the last 20 years. You might remember Kanter played briefly at Kentucky.
That's right. He sure did. Well, that's going to do it for today's edition of Sports Talk. Jimmy, I know you've got a show you can't wait to get to coming up next.
Looking forward to Golf Talk and Braxton Hunter joining me.
We sure do appreciate our guests. Thanks to Sam. Thanks to you for listening. Don't forget, Vol calls at 8 after Golf Talk next.